As I said earlier, a lot of people have asked me why the government doesn't crack down more on funerals, why they continue to allow a limit of 50, and more often than not, there are more than 50. Seen plenty of photographs and videos which suggest that, credibly suggest that. And in his two most recent addresses, the president has pleaded for people who are going through the funeral ritual, the after-death rituals, to stick by the rules of, you know, no after parties, no vigils, no night wakes, none of those things, just the funeral service with a maximum of 50 people. And see, folks say to me, why 50 people? If it's clear that it's such a point of infection, why not restrict it to immediate family only? And that makes sense in my Western perspective of the world. I would absolutely be comfortable with that. And from my perspective, Western, Eurocentric perspective, if you like, I would say that's fine. But one of the things that I learned from reading the book that I reviewed on Friday, one of the books that I reviewed on Friday, Difficult Conversations with a Black Man by Emmanuel Acho, and watching the wonderful videos, which you can access via YouTube or Instagram, is I take on board his suggestion that be brave. If you have a question about somebody else's culture, if there's a cultural practice of somebody different from you that you don't understand, ask about it. Ask about it in an honest manner. Don't ask about it in a judgmental manner. Just ask in order to be informed, which is why I've asked my colleague and friend, Africa Milane, to join us this afternoon to explain to people like me, Africa, why it is very important in black culture to have at least that number of people present at a funeral.
Good afternoon, John. I definitely do not have any clue, I'm afraid, why there has to be a magical number of 50 at funerals. The concept of an immediate family, though, in an African context, does not exist. In my case, it would be me and my two brothers, at most, my nephew. That cannot be a gathering of people to mark a celebration of someone's life, to go to the funeral gravesite and obviously say goodbye to people. My aunt, my cousin, they pretty much grew up with me all of my life, and they are as much, I suppose, close to my heart as my brothers and my nephew is. So the concept of an immediate or a nucleus family is really something that does not form completely in an African context because of that extended family element. From the 1st of January, I shared this on my show on Early Breakfast a couple of mornings ago. I know 14 people who have died, some of them closer than not. And these are 14 people from the 1st of January, John, not last year, from the 1st of January as a result of COVID-19.
Until today, Africa.
Until today, 14 people.
It's more than one a day. Wow.
The closest of which is an amazing woman. We call her Gogo, even though she's about 12 years older than me. Now, her mother and my maternal grandfather are siblings. So, you know, in a Western form, she's what, second, third cousin, 15 times removed, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But because she was an essential part of my family, when she came to Cape Town to study at Penn Tech, as it was known then, she spent the 3 years of her tuition at our household. And every time we've had a bereavement in our family, a wedding, an initiation ceremony, she's made sure that her entire family, including her mom, are in a car, drive all the way down to Cape Town to be with us. So the fact that I could not be there on Saturday for a funeral broke my heart, because in any other circumstance, I would have definitely been in a car, probably with a deployment of family of the Melanic clan, and would have driven to Johannesburg. Last year, my great uncle passed away in the height of level 4 of the lockdown to COVID-19. Another person who was very close and dear to my heart. I could not go to his funeral. We haven't even had a moment to celebrate his life because of COVID-19 and the pandemic. So I think it comes down to the fact that in an African family context, that notion of 2, 3, 5 people being together to mark the ending and the passing of someone that they loved and that was dear to them is something foreign to us. It's a concept that just does not exist.
Yeah, my mother died a year ago tomorrow, so tomorrow will be the first anniversary of my mom's death. And one of the things that helped us cope with her death in the months afterwards was that she was 93, she was ailing, she wanted to die. We were pleased that she had died at a point where we could get not only her immediate family, but the extended family, and then her bridge family and her church family from Hermanus into the church and then into the church hall to remember her and celebrate her extraordinary life. So, I mean, that's essentially what you're saying, that's not my family, but it is a family of people who cared about my mom.
Correct.
And they were able to assemble. And so Cyril Ramaphosa, the government, are allowing that extended family concept to gather at an African funeral.
And if in gathering up to the number 50 with the appropriate social distancing, wearing of masks and making sure that our hands are sanitized, and we arrived for a very shortened funeral service, go to the gravesite where the person is going to be interred into the ground, and then disperse, that would be fine. The moments where the super spreader events happen, John, is when people come back to the household afterwards. There's been a slaughtering and a cooking of a gracious lunch, and people are sitting around, lounging, remembering, celebrating that person's life, catching up in many ways. It is those moments, for example, and this is what the president often refers to, the after tears take place, where beverages of choice are going to be shared and people are going to be louder. People are going to be, well, less responsible when it comes to the pandemic.
Those people, Africa, look, even if you're poor and black and rural, you're not stupid. You know about the virus. Of course, in every community, there are people who deny it or refuse to acknowledge the seriousness of it. But those are people whose cultural ties are stronger than their concern for being infected or possibly infecting someone. John Matham on Cape Talk. Good afternoon to you all. After the news, we're talking to Nathan Geffen of Ground Up about how to fight anti-vaccine propaganda. John Matham on Cape Talk. It is 1 minute past four.
On capetalk.co.za,
on the app,
on DSTV channel 885,
and across the city on 567 AM.
Join the conversation.
This is Cape Talk.
This is Eyewitness News.
In your headlines at four, former Eskom bigwig Anoj Singh, a no-show at the State Capture Commission, and KZN's Health MEC says there's nothing odd about a massive overnight drop in active COVID cases. Good afternoon. We start at the State Capture Commission this afternoon, where former Eskom financial boss Anoj Singh was a no-show today. Singh was supposed to have given evidence before the Commission of Inquiry, but his legal team insisted he wasn't in a position to testify, handing in an affidavit to